Hello and welcome to The Cosmopolitan, the fifth in this Melbourne Walks series of eight walks. This podcast was produced by Tourism Victoria and the City of Melbourne. The full walk will take you around 1.5 hours in total, covering a distance of around 3 kilometres. The walk's going to take in stunning city views, glamorous Collins Street, sophisticated shopping and Chinatown. Before we start, you can download a copy of the map from www.visitvictoria.com or pick up a copy from the Melbourne Visitor Centre at Federation Square, where the walk begins. Now, we haven't included all the walking time required on this podcast, so remember you can just pause it at any time and hit play again when you're ready to go. When you hear this sound, it's a sign from us that this is probably a good place to pause the podcast while walking to the next stop. Now, before we set out, let's acknowledge that we're on the land of the Indigenous traditional owners. Today, Melbourne remains a significant gathering place for all Indigenous Victorians and is a part of Indigenous culture and community. For the Wurundjeri, Boonwurrung, Tunnurrung, Dja'dja'wurrung and the Wuthurrung, Melbourne has always been an important place for heritage and culture, as well as a place to meet and work. We're going to start today's walk from Federation Square and we'll walk up Swanston Street, opposite bustling Flinders Street Station. We will cross Flinders Street and pass the magnificent St. Paul's Cathedral. You will see here the monument to explorer Matthew Flinders in a very heroic pose with two unnamed sailors. So keep moving down Swanston Street, we'll cross over Flinders Lane, and when you get to Collins Street, you will see the Burke and Wills Monument, which is dedicated to two very famous Australian explorers and their journey across the continent. From here we can take in the view of the Melbourne Town Hall, and on the other corner, the Manchester Unity Building, a deco dream built in the 1930s. Reaching Collins Street, you might catch a whiff of Chanel as you turn right into Melbourne's most sophisticated shopping street. Collins Street is home to Tiffany, Maker's Mark, Hermes and Louis Vuitton. Majestic tree-lined Collins Street is one of Melbourne's most prestigious commercial addresses and it has also been a home to Melbourne's artists and theatres. At the Regent Theatre, let's take a quick tour of the ornate entrance hall and then look over the road to Athena on the parapet of the Melbourne Athenaeum. If you have time, book a performance in one of the city's fine theatres at the ticket office here. There's a wide variety of musical and theatrical shows to see. A little further up is the former George's department store, now home to George Patterson Bates, one of Melbourne's most famous ad agencies. You can mingle with smart office workers in suits and elegant ladies shopping and lunching at leisure. Now let's move further up the hill to 161 on Collins. When you enter the atrium, you can see the glass sculptures that represent significant Melbourne landmarks and buildings. At the corner of Russell Street, you'll pass Scott's Church. Now, this is where Dame Nellie Melba, who was named after her birthplace Melbourne, sang in the late 1800s. Her father happened to be the builder. As we cross Russell Street, turn around and look back down Collins Street for a stunning view of the city. Notice the beautiful polychrome patterns of St. Michael's Uniting Church. And here, as we approach the Grand Hyatt Plaza, if we look down Russell Street to Federation Square, you'll catch another distinctive view of that innovative Melbourne landmark. Just down here in George Parade, you will find quality Italian food in the restaurant Italy One and also in Il Solito Posto, both great sources of Italian fare. On reaching the columns of 101 Collins Street, go into the neoclassical foyer. Home to the city's financial whizzes, it's an amazing artistic experience. Four water pools, stunning marble and granite columns, and sumptuous gold leaf panelling. The Doric columns in this building are a striking feature. If you look up as we go out the front entry, you'll notice that the four Doric columns outside have a dramatic gap at the top. Back on Collins Street, several 19th century townhouses nestle in the shadow of Nauru House. These were doctor's surgeries where Melbourne's Well Healed came for treatment. With its luxury designer boutiques, this area was christened the Paris End in 1958 when the Oriental Hotel put tables on the footpath. You'll notice the ornate shop windows with their copper-coloured frames in Collins Street. These beautiful shops display jewellery, shoes and fashion. Collins Street caters well for both men's and women's fashions. Some of the shops and brand names you can see here in Collins Street include Dior, Anthony Squires, Henry Bucks, Ashley Jewelers, Herringbone, Hermans, Giorgio Armani, Evelyn Miles, Gucci, Salvatore Ferragamo, Octavia and Grace, Max Mara, Ermenegildo Zegna, Alberto Piazza, Harold's, and Rhodes and Beckett. But there is more. You'll also find Mont Blanc, Bulgari, Husk, Rutherford Pearls, Bally, Jan Logan, George Jensen, Dorsay, Chanel, and Louis Vuitton. You can find chocolates, antique and rare books, opals, artwork, jewellery, shoes, furnishings, dresses and suits, and for those who love accessories, there is a number of wonderful shops selling designer handbags. These shops are seriously upmarket and a lot of fun to browse through, and if you can't quite afford an item that takes your fancy, well, we can still window shop, can't we? You might notice the large number of shops selling men's business suits and shirts. That's because Collins Street was and still is a commercial precinct for finance as well as a home for medical specialists. Style, influence and power have always been associated with Collins Street. With Parliament and Treasury close by, many politicians have been attracted to Collins Street. For example, Portland House at No. 8 Collins was built by politician and financier Henry Miller in 1872. And in 1870, No. 1 Collins Street was built by pastoralist and politician William Campbell. The Australian War Cabinet actually met here in No. 1 Collins Street during 1914 and 1918. And back down the hill, the classical revival building Harley House was owned by former Lord Mayor Dr. Gengoult Smith. The more businesslike side of Collins Street was celebrated in the 1955 painting by John Brack, Collins Street, 5 p.m. If you visit the NGV at Federation Square, you can see his painting for yourself. At 16, John Brack worked as an insurance clerk in Collins Street, and the painting is said to be based on earlier bank buildings, now gone, near 55 Collins Street. In the Brack painting, the city workers are uniform, mostly male, with coats and hats reflecting the 1950s fashions of the time. Nowadays, our city workers are a more diverse-looking lot and can be seen in Collins Street soaking up the atmosphere over a cappuccino. The artistic aspect of Collins Street is worth noting with a number of contemporary art galleries, including the one at 101 Collins. It seems that underneath the power and prestige of Collins Street, it has always had an artistic edge. In the 1950s, many artists took up residence upstairs above shops and offices, and it was home to our first contemporary art gallery showing our young modernists. At No. 9 Collins, the Contemporary Artists Society was formed in 1953. George and Mirka Mora promoted Australian modernist artists in their gallery at No. 9 Collins until 1965. Mirka was born and educated in Paris, so perhaps it was natural she was attracted to the Paris end of Collins Street. In the 1970s, the Oriental that had set the Parisian tone made way for the soaring twin towers of Collins Place. We can explore the fabulous shops and cafes, and if you've got time, check out the famous view of the city from the Sofitel restrooms on the 35th floor. Collins Place is also home to an art house Kino Dendi cinema, but we don't have time for a movie today. So that treat will have to wait for a return trip. As we step out onto the street again, we can see that opposite is the Melbourne Club, a private gentleman's club. You can almost smell the leather and cigars as you walk by. For chocolate lovers, a stop at either Coco Black or Haig's is a must on the way to the Gold Treasury Museum at the top of Collins Street. It sits grandly at the intersection with Spring Street and was Victoria's old treasury, designed in the 1850s by 19-year-old J.J. Clark. This was his second government building, and the prolific Clark went on to design the former Royal Mint, the Customs House, the Victorian Titles Office, the City Baths, the Town Hall Administration Building, and the former Queen Victoria Hospital. Many of these buildings have been preserved and have a new life. The former Queen Victoria Hospital, for instance, now houses the Victorian Women's Trust. We'll get a glimpse of that building later as we move through Chinatown. Turning left into Spring Street, we are still in the heart of the city, but just here we can see the calm green oasis of the Treasury Gardens. Now, the Treasury Gardens is a fantastic example of one of Melbourne's major public gardens and well worth a visit in its own right. You can see across Spring Street there is a much smaller triangular garden area. Now, this is Gordon Reserve, and it boasts two Gordon statues positioned at either end. One is of the poet and horseman Adam Lindsay Gordon, and the other is of the British general Gordon of Khartoum. The bankrupt poet died tragically in Melbourne, and the general died at the Siege of Khartoum in 1885. Clearly, these colonial adventurers captured the public imagination in the past. Now, walking along Spring Street, we pass the famous Hotel Windsor. This is the grandest surviving hotel from the 1880s. Looking at this majestic hotel, you can glimpse some of the wealth that must have flowed during the gold rush. The Windsor's traditional afternoon tea is almost an institution in Melbourne, and at the Cricketer's Bar, the discerning drinker can enjoy a whisky and soda every day from noon. Look across to Parliament House and the tranquil gardens beyond. In 1860, rioters tried to storm Parliament seeking land reform. You can still see the two horizontal gun slits installed by the government after the riot if you look behind the columns high in the facade. Since that time, the steps of Parliament have seen demonstrations of every kind. The steps are also a sought-after spot for wedding photographs. On weekends, you can often see wedding parties complete with horse and carriage posing with the historic Parliament building as a backdrop. But wedding videos are not the only thing shot in Melbourne. International and local directors have shot in every corner of this city. One of the little laneways off Little Bourke Street was used in a scene in a Jackie Chan movie, No More Mr. Nice Guy. Melbourne's diverse architecture makes it popular with many Hollywood directors, and the city has also featured in the 2005 Bollywood blockbuster Salaam Namaste. And in 2007, at the other end of Spring Street in the Treasury Gardens, you could have seen actor Nicolas Cage being filmed for a scene from the action fantasy film Ghost Rider. Leaving Parliament House now, we'll continue up Spring Street, crossing Bourke Street, and here you'll see the Princess Theatre on the left, which has been a home for many theatrical and musical performances since 1886, and it's a landmark Melbourne building. It has a facade as magnificent as any in the world, and is undoubtedly a unique cultural asset to the city of Melbourne. In recent times, the theatre has hosted shows such as Phantom of the Opera, Les Miserables, Cats, Dirty Dancing, and many, many more. At Princess Theatre, Frederici's Bar is named after an actor who died on stage in 1888. Now, some say his ghost still haunts the building to this very day. Next door is the cosmopolitan European Cafe and the sleek supper club upstairs. You might want to have a coffee at the European and recharge your batteries before we continue on. Now, we end the very European leg of our walk and turn left into Little Bourke Street and one of the oldest Chinatowns in any Western city. Fascinating Chinatown begins at Tianjin Garden as you turn into Little Bourke Street. As we walk through Chinatown, we'll pass Punch Lane, famous for its great jazz and nightlife. Then cross Exhibition Street and continue to Her Majesty's Theatre alongside the Chinatown Arch. The Maj was named after Queen Victoria, but the original name when it opened in 1886 was Alexandra, after the then Princess of Wales. When it was first opened, they had hoped to stage Italian operas, but popular melodramas became the staple fare for the late 19th century audiences here. Her Majesty's has staged over 100 musicals since 1934. There is a long list of greats who have delighted audiences in Her Majesty's Theatre. Dame Nellie Melba gave her farewell performance here on the 27th of September 1928, and in 1957, Dame Margot Fonteyn made her Melbourne debut at the theatre. In recent years, there's also been a long list of popular musicals on here, Miss Saigon, Cabaret, Mamma Mia, and of course Cats, which ran for over a year at the theatre. When we reach Facing Heaven Archway, you'll find you are in culinary heaven with a host of Asian restaurants nearby. Yamcha, anyone? Be tempted at Shark Fin House, Banana Palm, or for something special, the Flower Drum. For sweet tooths, you'll find Maxim's Cakes further on our walk. Turn right at Cohen Place and walk through to the Chinese Museum, home of Dai Lung, the world's biggest dragon. You're now in the heart of Melbourne's Chinatown, where hard-working gold miners, herbalists and cabinet makers first settled in the 1850s. As you continue down Little Bourke Street, old shops, mission halls and secret laneways surround you. You buy everything Chinese here, food, ingredients, furniture, videos, it's all here. There are also new Chinese eateries with quirky names like Moa Please and the Post Deng Cafe. Okay, now we'll cross Russell Street and turn right into Heffernan Lane, where the walls of the Methodist Mission warn, "Commit no nuisance," unless someone has blacked out the word no. Don't forget to look for the street signs at the end of the lane. Okay, now turn left into Lonsdale Street and return to Chinatown, taking the first left into Tattersall's Lane, which was a horse bazaar in the 19th century. Lonsdale Street has some great Greek restaurants and is teeming with cafes and cake shops rich with the aroma of coffee and oregano. Across the street, you can see the preserved section of the Queen Victoria Hospital, now the Queen Victoria Women's Centre, which is now part of the QV shopping precinct. We're now heading back to Chinatown and Little Bourke Street, so let's take Tattersall's Lane on our left. Once you get back to Little Bourke Street, have a look to your left to see Celestial Lane. You can duck upstairs to a local favourite, the Supper Inn. Heading down Little Bourke Street, we turn left into Swanston Street, Melbourne's central spine. Here we can see an eclectic collection of buildings and businesses, shops, buskers and public sculptures. At Bourke Street, look up to the four weather vanes. And don't miss the sculpture, The Three Businessmen Who Brought Their Own Lunch. These are three of Melbourne's founding fathers, Batman, Swanston and Hoddle. Now turn right into the Bourke Street Mall. The short pedestrian and tram strip is always pulsating with shoppers, tourists and city workers. From it, we derived the common Melbourne saying, as busy as Bourke Street. Here you'll find Melbourne's two biggest department stores, David Jones and Myer, plus the historic Royal Arcade. You can really lose yourself shopping here. Royal Arcade was built in 1869 and has a delightful range of small specialty shops. You can also stop at the information booth in the mall for more information about the city, because there's always more to see and do. Our Melbourne Walk podcast number 4 provides an insight into these unique Melbourne arcades and laneways. Now let's take the scenic and pedestrian-friendly route home to Federation Square and explore the maze of sensational shops and cafes in the narrow laneways. From Bourke Street Mall, we can now walk through Royal Arcade, Block Place and Block Arcade. There's a lot to see in Melbourne's most visited historic arcades. From Collins Street, we can wander through Centre Way, Centre Place and De Grave Street to reach Flinders Street. Now, finally on Flinders Street, we turn left and move back again to our starting point at Federation Square. I hope you've enjoyed the walk through glamorous Collins Street and fascinating Chinatown. Remember, this is just one in our series. You can download other Melbourne Walks podcasts at www.visitvictoria.com. For further tourist information, you can go to the Melbourne Visitor Centre at Federation Square or the Melbourne Visitor Booth in the Bourke Street Mall, or just keep an eye out for our roving city ambassadors on the street. Dressed in red, you really can't miss them. To see more of Melbourne, don't forget the free Melbourne City Tourist Shuttle, which will take you to some of Melbourne's best attractions over 11 stops. There's a stop opposite Federation Square, outside St. Paul's Cathedral.